This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell and I'm joined by Randall Dandel Datsun.
Hello Pete, how are you?
I'm good mate, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, slightly tired.
It's a good start for a podcast.
Went out for Valentine's Day last night, so yeah, a very nice night.
But, I'm sure we're going to be talking about that in more detail in the outro of this podcast, but for now we're actually just going to get straight into talking about SmackDown. We're going to be talking about, and they've been teasing a new character on SmackDown, plus, you know, Otis got his heart broken and all that, so here's the show. First things first, WrestleTalkLive.com, that's the thing that's happening. We're hosting our own wrestling show. How mental is that? We're not starting our own promotion, just want to get that one out there. But we're going to be showcasing some of the best UK wrestling around. There's like millions of promotions.
And some Japanese people, from what I saw.
Well, yeah, but it's still part of the UK wrestling scene, you know. It's Shota Umino, who was Jon Moxley's tag partner, or like associate during the G1. He's going to be wrestling there. Lots of other really, really cool names. WrestleTalkLive.com. Go get your tickets. You can come. It's on March 16th. Come meet all of us. We're going to be doing a podcast as well.
You can meet me.
And also everyone else that's on the WrestleTalk team. Anyway, let's talk about SmackDown.
Yes.
Because this SmackDown was, I thought, an okay episode.
Yes.
And there was a couple things that were quite interesting on the show. But the thing I found the most interesting was these little teasers. Because WWE sometimes are quite good at doing just a tiny little hint of what's to come. They started doing it with, you know, when The Fiend was rising to prominence, they did all the Firefly Funhouse stuff, and then they just had the puppets start showing up.
Popping up around,
in, like, backstage segments and things. They don't reference them, they're just there for people to spot. They've done it with things like on NXT, they had, for Velveteen Dream's return, they had the three numbers that would just flash up randomly throughout episodes in the weeks leading up to his return. Things like that, they're quite good at. I think this is another case of that, because in two different segments on SmackDown tonight, at random points, it would just, the feed, the screen would just start glitching. Yeah. And it would just go all kind of
half a
crazy.
Second.
Yeah, for like half a second, it would just go, and then it would cut off again. It looked very intentional, but also not, it looked like it was intentionally unintentional, if that makes sense.
I mean, it was definitely intentional.
It was definitely intentional.
Because it happened twice in exactly the same way.
Exactly, yes.
And it was at such unprominent times during the show that it was kind of, this is quite clearly something.
So, the first one happened during the Bayley and Carmella match.
Yes.
And then the second one happened when Elias was making his way down to the ring later on in the show.
He did.
And these just glitches just came up and then just left again. So, in my humble opinion, my expert opinion, that is, I think that they're going to be teasing, this is a tease for a new character.
Yes.
My first pick as to who it could be, I'm thinking it's going to be Killer Kross.
You think Killer Kross is going straight to the main roster?
I think straight to the main roster, because there was a lot of reports coming out that, you know, there's a lot of people vying for his services. WWE, I would assume, have paid in the big bucks, and there was a report that they wanted to push him, you know, to the moon straight away.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people assumed that would be on NXT. He'd be going for like the NXT Championship or something like that. Shortly after his debut, I think he's actually straight to the main roster, yeah, and he's going to be getting mixed up on SmackDown.
There's,
it looks like,
no reason why not, because the NXT roster is so saturated right now.
Some may call it stacked.
That wasn't a pun. I thought you were. I was really expecting something there. I know that's your thing.
It's my thing. Did I ever say it was a pun?
Well, no, but you stopped and looked at the camera. That's what I do when I say
a bad
thing.
Yeah, I know,
thing,
but that's not your thing.
Yes,
you,
it is.
You didn't create looking at a camera.
I invented that. I invented sitcoms.
Yeah.
but yeah, there's so many people now on the NXT roster that, yeah, I feel like he could quite easily jump just straight to SmackDown,
mm-hmm,
especially because SmackDown needs new people.
Need someone
and
to
I don't know what it
up.
Is, but something about a glitch just makes you think, oh, he's a heel.
Like, yeah,
you're making my viewing experience worse. You're definitely a heel.
Well, it's almost like they had the NXT character, I believe it was Solomon Crow, who was a hacker who used to come in with like a laptop and then the lights would go out after, ooh, he tapped on that. That was like his gimmick. So I don't know whether they're going to do some sort of variation on that and kind of have Killer Kross be some sort of like hackery, yeah, type thing who kind of causes glitches on the system and stuff.
I think
like
a lot of people might look at it and go, oh, this is just another Fiend thing. I don't think it's another Fiend thing.
No, it didn't look like it.
Because it's not violins, it's not lights going off, it's more of a kind of, I don't know, just a little technical issue.
Mm,
maybe Baron,
yeah,
Corbin's back in the van
in the production
from last
truck,
week,
yeah,
just poking buttons. Stop it, Baron!
This one.
But my theory is that it's Lars Sullivan. Because I think it's going to be...
You can't even say it with a straight face.
I think it's going to be Glitch Bennett. Which, if you know what that joke is, then you're very dirty and you shouldn't be allowed to watch this. Yeah, it's going to be Glitch Bennett, because he is...
But seriously, who's your pick?
I don't know, because it's such a kind of little thing.
Mm.
That it's not going, oh, well, I know that. That's that guy's... Like,
yeah,
gimmick.
That's his thing, yeah.
Either it's a new character, so mm-hmm, if it's a new character, I do agree, probably Killer Kross. But it could just be someone else just like re-kind of inventing
new gimmick,
a character.
Yeah, yeah.
Who, I don't know, but the thing is, I don't know who's not really been on. Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
Ali.
Yeah.
Mustafa Ali.
The glitches themselves looked very kind of... when NXT do their takeovers... when they have the kind of glitchy effects on them, when they bring up replays and things like that. It looked kind of like that.
It's an NXT invasion.
I don't think it's an NXT invasion, though. So yeah, I think my top pick would have to be Killer Kross. I don't think it's going to be an NXT call-up.
No.
And I don't think it really fits Timothy Thatcher. I think if anything, he's going to be doing stuff with Imperium or something on NXT. I don't think he's going to fit being that kind of main roster hacker type guy.
Yeah.
So I think Killer Kross has to be my top pick. I really can't think of many other people it would be.
No.
Unless it is a complete gimmick change of someone we've all forgotten about, like, I don't know, EC3 or something
Tamina.
Like that.
Tamina.
I don't think it's Tamina.
I'd love it. It was Tamina. anyway.
But yeah, I'm quite looking forward to it, but I don't think they're actually going to pay this off until after WrestleMania. I think this is going to be a night after Mania kind of debut. It's going to escalate, I think.
There'll be three glitches next week, four glitches.
Yeah, and then there'll be like maybe like a promo where it'll be glitchy, and then like a voiceover will come in and say something,
yeah,
and we go, ooh, that is an actual character, and then it kind of builds, and then SmackDown after WrestleMania debut happens.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com. When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We've got to say thank you to some special people, and that is our Pledge Hammer Patreon backers. If you've not gone to WrestleTalk's Patreon page, you should. It's great. Patreon.com/WrestleTalk, you get loads of cool benefits and stuff. We've just put up the WrestleTalk Extra podcast for February, which is Ollie and Luke reviewing Elimination Chamber 2014, which has that classic Wyatt versus Shield six-man tag match, which is great. So you can go and give that a watch. That's at the $10 tier. If you're at the $25 and above tier, then you get your custom wrestling name and a shout out on a show like this. So thank you to Angry Arbel Zafiri.
Yeah.
And you get a cheap pop as well.
Don't have a Shane Cowley, man.
Woo. Yes, thank you. You'll never get this name right, you idiots. Matthew Zmijewski.
Yes, Zmijewski. Moving sideways, Kieran Crabtree.
Sideways.
Yeah, like Dr. Zoidberg. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Robin Banks, Lee Roberts.
Ah, oh, Lee Roberts. Yes. We're going on a Brian Huntley.
Hell yeah, we are. Always on the hunt. John, Mr. Jenkerson. Jenkerson. Woo, yes, thank you.
Colin McLeaner than Finn Balor. Woo, I finally got that one right.
Leaner than Finn Balor. The second coming, Kev Jr.
And finally, Marcus, he's got soul, Campbell. It's a football joke.
Football jokes. Well, thank you very much to our Pledge Hammers on Patreon. So let's get into the actual review of the whole show. First thing that I spotted on this show says it coming from Vancouver, Canada. And then I saw a Support WrestleTalk sign.
Nice. Like, yeah! I saw it too. There was more than one.
Great, I know. Well. It was great. So Vancouver, big thumbs up.
Thanks, fans. And just in general, the crowd was super hot.
It was
for the whole show,
hot.
Apart from Apollo Crews.
Which is understandable. Is understandable.
Yeah.
But they were hot pretty much the whole night, and it really helped this show, I think. The show opened up with a moment of bliss with Cross and...
First of the year.
Yeah, Cross and Bliss. And as we've seen moment of bliss segments that are god-awful. We've seen them that are dreadful. This wasn't one of them, I didn't think. I thought this was fine.
It wasn't great, though.
It wasn't great. Because I'm not saying that. It
Alexa
was
Bliss
fine.
Comes on and goes, hi, whatever. And then Nikki goes, oh, Alexa, it's Valentine's Day today, so who's your celebrity crush? And Alexa's kind of, oh, well, you know, well, should I say it? Should I say it? The crowd's going mental because they want to know who Alexa
Bliss
fancies.
Yeah, we want to know who you fancy!
Yeah, and then Nikki goes, ooh, I'm going to have a guess. Is that Brad Pitt? And then Michael Collins goes, who? Because the whole joke is that no one can understand Nikki Cross because she's Scottish.
We can.
Did you hear that Drew had to tone down his accent because, like...
That sounds totally reasonable.
Vince, like, the more Scottish he was, the more likely he was to not be pushed.
Yeah, that's very Vince.
So, he's having to kind of make him sound a bit more English.
Yep.
It was just a bit weird, this segment. And then they sort of go, right, okay, that's done. Here's Carmella.
Here's Carmella now.
I have a theory about Carmella. I'll let you talk in a second.
Okay.
When she's being serious, she wears her kind of normal gear with the the kind of sports bra top and the kind of the sports pants, whatever. But when she's not being serious...
Technical terminology here.
Sports pants.
On the Wrestle Talk podcast.
But when she's being less serious, she wears her leotard thingy with the very high button, like the really chafing thing. Because then she's more slightly diva, diva-y, I think. Just that kind of... She just loses more. But when, I feel like when she wears the kind of more serious-looking outfit, she actually wrestles better. I don't know if that's just me, but I feel like that's
I think that's just something I've noticed.
Yeah. Wrestle pants.
Wrestle pants.
What did you think?
Sports pants. Carmella came out and she says that Meta is money and she's going to remind everyone that she's going to become the next SmackDown Women's Champion. And then they start talking about her friendship with Bayley. And like, this entire segment, this isn't my cup of tea. Them talking about friendships and celebrity crushes and things like that. But I can guarantee that it definitely appeals to a certain section of fans.
Oh, yeah.
And what worked in their favor is they felt very natural. They felt like they were just kind of chatting about stuff. Oh, you guys used to be friends. Here's, look at some pictures of you guys when you used to be friends. Look at that. And then she's like, well, what happened? And then Carmella was like, well, Sasha Banks happened.
Yeah.
And the crowd went, ooh. Yeah, and then she was saying, this brought out Bayley, who was saying... And Bayley, I think it took her a little bit to get into her promo, because Bayley, I don't think, is quite as good a promo as the other three that are there, I want to say. But I think, again, she kind of came into her own a little bit, and when she started saying that, you know, she was saying that she beat Bliss and Cross in a handicap match last year, and that she's the most dominant champion and all that stuff, I started to believe what she was saying. And most of the time, I think in Bayley promos, she can come across like a little bit disingenuous. This one, I felt she actually kind of found her footing and kind of put across her point pretty well.
Yeah.
So I thought overall this was a fine segment. There was nothing wrong with it in particular. Yeah.
My only issue with this is that I just don't like seeing Nikki Cross as this lovable baby-facing... Because she is so much better as the kind of crazy...
I know she is, but...
Sanity lady.
I know. But, I mean, there's a lot of things that we wish we could have with gimmicks and stuff that we don't choose. But so I don't outwardly hate her character now.
But Carmella kind of goes, blah, blah, blah. I want to have this match.
I want to have this match right now instead of whenever.
Instead of whenever it was scheduled to be, which was now.
Which was not Super Showdown.
Yes. But we are... getting a match at Super Showdown in the ladies, which we'll discuss after this match.
We will.
But yeah, no, it's a pretty decent match.
Yeah, and it was
nice to see them both, the women's division on SmackDown, get more than 5 minutes.
Oh, God, it went through an ad break.
Yeah.
It was good.
I would think probably 10 minutes, maybe.
Yeah. It's somewhere between 10 and 15, for sure. Yeah. And it went through an ad break, like I said. The crowd were really into it. Apparently, I saw a thing on Squared Circle that I wasn't aware of before. Apparently, Canada just hates Bayley.
Do they?
Canada just boos Bayley. It's just a thing that happens.
Is that because it's Bizarro World, where when she was the massive babyface, when she turned up there, they would go, boo!
I don't know the exact reason why they started booing her. But there was a thing that happened.
Okay.
Canada started booing Bayley, and now that's just a thing. Whenever she's in Canada, she will get booed. But it really worked for this one because she was a heel. So they were really cheering Carmella. They were really booing Bayley, and it led to this really nice dynamic because the crowd were really into this match. And there was a really nice wrestling feel to this match.
Yeah.
There was some really nice sequences. Lots of like close roll-ups.
Yeah.
There was some nice creative spots. There was like a top rope Hurricane Rana.
Yeah.
Carmella kicked out of the Bayley to belly.
Which doesn't happen very often.
Nope.
And that's a rubbish move.
Yep. She locked in the code of silence.
She did a suicide dive through the
bottom rope, which was a great spot. It just led into this really kind of tense, dramatic crescendo, which ended when Bayley won with an illegal pin.
She did.
Was, you know, classic heel tactics. Yeah. Crowd went boo a lot, and it was great.
And call me old-fashioned, but I like a wrestling match with wrestling moves, especially when, unfortunately, in a lot of these women's matches on SmackDown specifically, you just get a lot of head drag downs and a lot of very basic wrestling. But when you're actually allowed to have a match, you can do moves.
Mm, exactly.
So yeah, it was nice to see that the kind of Carmella showing that she can actually wrestle.
Yeah. Still hate the Meligo round though. Just stop having that as a move.
Because Kelly made it horrible and you're not making it any better.
Not making it any better.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, as soon as Bayley gets the pin, it cuts to the crowd. And there's Support WrestleTalk sign number 2.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, go Vancouver. And then afterwards, Bayley attacks Carmella after the bell for reasons. Mm-hmm. Naomi comes out to save her, and her and Carmella beat up Bayley, and they stand tall afterwards, and they kind of glance at each other like, yeah, Bayley's down there, and we're in here.
Yeah,
we're cool, etc. And then later on, we'll go through all the women's segments now, because then later on, Bayley had a promo backstage.
Where was it?
Saying,
was it Brax stage?
That's awful. That's genuinely one of the worst ones.
It was with Kayla Braxton.
That's genuinely one of the worst puns you've made. Mm. Just saying. Bayley's backstage with Kayla Braxton, saying that the next time she's going to defend her title, it's going to be at Super Showdown in Saudi Arabia.
Here's my theory. Mm-hmm. They were going for this. Mm-hmm. They advertised it.
Yep.
Then there was a bit of they weren't quite sure it was going to happen. Had the match on SmackDown. After it was announced the match was going to be on SmackDown, the Saudi government went, okay, fine, you can have your match in Saudi Arabia. They went, right, we've already advertised this for SmackDown, so we're going to have that match. Have Naomi come out afterwards, mm-hmm. and then they're going to have they're going to go, are they going one-on-one? They are going one-on-one for the number one contender.
Yes.
For
Super Showdown.
I still think Carmella's going to win.
Do you think so?
Because for reasons that are obvious, I don't think the Saudi government want Naomi wrestling.
I don't know about that. I would be surprised if they have... I would think that there is no reason to have another number one contenders match when you could just have Carmella have another match. Because she won with an illegal pin. You have a reason to just say, well, Carmella gets a rematch because you didn't win fair and square. We'll have that at Super Showdown. But they've specifically done another number one contenders match between Carmella and Naomi. I think Naomi's going to pick up the win.
I mean, the thing is, Naomi... But I want to see Naomi and Bayley at Elimination Chamber because I don't want the match to be marred by a Saudi crowd who doesn't want to see what they're seeing.
Well, I mean, the first match they had between Natalya and Lacey Evans, there was the uncomfortable bit where someone threw a bottle of water at Natalya.
Yeah.
Aside from that, I'd say it was quite well received, generally. So I don't know how it's going to go down necessarily.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't write it off immediately. Plus, the more of these things that happen, the more hopefully that they will kind of get used to that kind of thing happening and there'll be less, you know.
Yes.
What's the word I'm looking for? Unrest.
Yes.
About it. But then, yeah, Bayley cut this promo saying she'll compete at Super Showdown. Carmella had a promo later on saying she's going to become the next SmackDown Women's Champion. Naomi said basically the same thing.
Yeah.
She's going to become next SmackDown Women's Champion, feel the glow and all that stuff. And it got confirmed next week, Naomi versus Carmella, number one contenders match. Winner faces Bayley at Super Showdown.
Kayla Braxton was very busy.
She was
very busy. Running around backstage.
Still not a thing that's catching on.
Now that Kathy Kelly's going, I mean, she's not been on the main roster, but Kathy Kelly...
I cannot believe Kathy Kelly's going.
...is leaving WWE, and my heart has fallen out of my trousers.
I know, yeah. Trousers. Mm. Then we got, speaking of the women's division, that's continuing on, got a cool video package of Lacey Evans.
Yes.
That was from the Royal Rumble, and it was just her backstage being very kind of candid, talking to the camera, and just saying that she carries letters from fans. She actually puts them in her boots when she wrestles to remind her of why she's doing what she's doing. Very kind of cool babyface stuff. She spoke about one letter in particular at the Rumble. There was a letter from a fan who'd lost someone
due to addiction.
And she just was, you know, on the verge of tears, just being like, this is why I do what I do. I want to be, you know, a positive role model for these people. It felt very genuine, and it felt quite touching. It was a very solid video package. It's a good babyface stuff.
Yeah,
Thumbs up.
I can see her being back in the title picture very soon. Because
she's been off
for a couple of weeks, but not for long.
I think Luke might be right. I think we might be heading for a Lacey Bayley rematch at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the Naomi, Carmella, Bayley stuff blow off at Super Showdown and at Elimination Chamber. And then that'll be that. That'll be that whole feud. Yeah. And then we have Lacey Bayley rematch at Mania. It's possible.
Presumably there's going to be a women's Elimination Chamber.
Might be on the Raw side.
So
I don't know.
Have Becky. There's not a lot of people.
It might not be Becky in it. It might be people vying to face Becky. Shayna being one of them, and Shayna wins it.
Shayna could be in it, maybe.
I don't know. But they could very well do a SmackDown one, honestly. Do the same thing. Have the Naomi at Super Showdown. Elimination Chamber is people vying to see who can face Bayley, and Lacey Evans wins it.
Dana Brooke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought that was really cool. Otis is backstage next.
Looking so handsome. He's combed his hair and he's done his beard.
Yeah.
And he's very nervous.
And he gets a text message and he just says, "That'll be great. See you soon, Mandy." Winky face emoji, heart emoji, heart eyes emoji. And one of the things about Otis that never fails to make me laugh is just whenever Tucker comes in, just like kind of places a hand on his shoulder, he just turns around and just goes, "Ducky!" It's just the way he does it. I just crack up every single time. He goes on and say, "Mandy's running a little bit late, but that's okay." Mm-hmm. And he says, is it crazy to think that Mandy might like me?
Oh, it's not crazy, Otis. You're a handsome, handsome man.
He's a big boy. I like him. And then Tucker gives him, you know, words of advice. "You're going to do great, champ," all that stuff. And we'll get to the blow off for that later on. Sheamus versus Shorty G and Apollo Crews in a 2-on-1 handicap match with
Sheamus comes out, crowd's hot. Apollo Crews comes out, crowd is almost as if they all closed their
eyes.
Then Shorty G comes out, and because of Apollo Crews, no one cares.
Yeah.
Sheamus wins in 3 minutes.
Yep.
Thanks for coming, guys.
They got in some decent offense,
but it was kind of like hitting a tree, trying to cut a tree down with a spoon.
Yeah.
It was sort of, for ages, and then it was just never going to happen. And Sheamus is clearly getting pushed, probably to face Braun Strowman or something
like that. I said it in my edited review as well. I'm more into Sheamus beating two people than I am one, but I'm also way more into the idea of Sheamus actually having a feud.
I could also see Sheamus facing The Fiend at Elimination Chamber.
Really? Sheamus Fiend.
They need a feud in between.
But it would be a baby face that would face him. Fiend's a heel, in their eyes.
Nah.
Yeah.
I can still see it. I'm calling you out.
No one's going to face the Fiend at Elimination Chamber because we've got the men's Elimination Chamber match to determine who's going to face the Fiend at WrestleMania. So I don't think they're going to do a Fiend match. It's already going to be set in stone that they will be facing the Fiend.
What if Goldberg's the champion?
I hate you. It's not going to happen. Please don't make it happen.
He might be. Although there was...
I will be so mad if Goldberg beats The Fiend.
There was one spot in this match that was great. There was a double axe handle off the top rope.
You hate double axe
handles. It's the stupidest move in wrestling, everyone.
It's not. It's not the stupidest move in wrestling.
Because, first of all, it's doing this.
Yeah.
Doing it off the top rope doesn't make it any more impressive. You're still just doing that to someone.
Yeah, but you have all the momentum of you coming down. Are you saying that if you came down from height going onto something on the ground, that would have more momentum on it?
It just looks so silly.
No, but it's not the dumbest move in wrestling. There is actual science behind it compared to some other moves that actually have none.
There's tense through a kiss.
No.
Oh, but it was Valentine's Day yesterday, and speaking of which, they cut to... the restaurant where Mandy Rose were waiting, and he noticed that every woman in that room was wearing a red dress.
Yeah.
And all the men were wearing black suit.
Of course. Like Valentine's Day.
All women all wear red dresses.
Especially on Valentine's Day.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the only colour you can wear.
Speaking of red dresses, we come on next to Hulk Hogan, who's famous for his red and yellow. It's a bad segue. Hulk Hogan.
That sucks.
The immortal Hulk Hogan is there, live! Via satellite again.
Yeah.
Again, they've promoted Hulk Hogan.
From his house. More like Hulk Hokey, because that was not his house.
Yeah, it was.
It was a shop. It was quite clearly a shop. There were
some people had just put up an NWO t-shirt, NWO hoodie. And they're like, here's the belt.
But not just one. There were like three in a row, which made it look like that's just a hook in a shop where you can pick a, no, that's large, I'm a medium. Yeah. It looked rubbish. It looked even less like a house than Goldberg's one last week.
I know, So Hulk Hogan comes on and he chats some gubbins about him going in the Hall of Fame with
the NWO. It's the same issue with the Goldberg thing. When they're in the ring, that's when they're good at promos. When they're sitting at home going, like there's a script off camera going, oh, and Goldberg will beat the Fiend. Fiend, you don't know what's coming. Goldberg is really cool. Brother, WrestleMania, Hulkamania. brother who, and that was basically it. And it was
that was
sort
pretty
of like,
much the promo, yeah. It was a bit pants. But the good part about this was when Bray Wyatt interrupted.
Doing a Kyle O'Reilly playing the air guitar.
He did a Hulk Hogan playing
the Kyle O'Reilly.
He did a...
I only started watching wrestling 2 years ago.
So he came in with the graphics that looked like the NWO, but it had been replaced with FFH for Firefly Funhouse. It was like a PSA NWO thing they used to do, which is really cool. Came in on black and white playing the guitar like Hogan used to do.
Kyle O'Reilly.
This guy. And then they go back and forth for a bit. There's some funny things from Bray Wyatt. He gives Huskers the Pete Boy. He gives him a bit of chocolate and says, "Hope it's not too sweet." It's good. It's funny. But then, you know, the weird thing about this segment, I thought, was that they teased a match between Wyatt and Hogan, which I literally could not be less into that idea. But Wyatt holds up a picture of Hogan and says, "There's always room on the wall for you." And then Hogan's like, "Oh, I'll see you at the Hall of Fame," and walks off. So why are we teasing this?
I could see Bray attacking him,
yeah,
but not having a match. Yes. Like Angle, he attacked
Him now to attack him during his Hall of Fame speech.
Yes.
That would be great.
Yeah, but what if someone is dressed up as the Fiend and rushed the ring and everyone thought, this is fine, but it's like that guy from last year, Brock something. His name was Brock, wasn't it, I think? The guy who
attacked Bret Hart. Yeah. I don't know, but whatever. This was fine. I'm not more excited for Fiend Goldberg. I don't think I'm going to be more excited for it between now and then.
And Hogan sort of goes, "Ah, shut up, mate," and then walks off. And
I'll see you at the Hall of Fame.
Reveals a chair with his own name on it.
Just in case you need reminding.
Then we got Zayn and Cesaro in the ring.
I thought this segment was really good.
Did you notice that Cesaro had a cowbell because he's Swiss?
Is that the joke?
I think so, because Swiss cows are known for the dongling.
I thought the joke was, we need way less cowbell. I thought that was the quip about the thing. Because there's the SNL skit of the we need more cowbell.
I don't watch SNL.
Nor do I, but everyone knows that skit. It's very famous. If
everyone apart from me, then.
Yeah.
That's not
the only person in the world who does not know that skit.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're in the ring. Sami Zayn and Cesaro in the ring doing a protest concert against Elias and Braun Strowman because they've been, you know, the victims of injustice. I don't know. This is where we get more glitches on the feed, and then Elias comes out with a super hot crowd behind him.
Yeah.
And again, you hear kind of at peak Elias when the whole crowd was behind him every single week. Yeah. WWE stands for Walk with Elias, and it was this proper like raucous crowd. It was a really cool moment. And then he gets in the ring to listen to their protest concert thing. They start going Cesaro on the cowbell, I thought was hilarious.
There was something quite satisfying about him having a big, like a proper size guitar,
mm-hmm.
and then Sami Zayn having the little one. There was
a ukulele.
That's cool. And yeah, there was just a nice visual. There was just something almost childish in me thinking, "Ha, he's got a bigger one." This was fun. And then obviously they all scuffle.
They all start brawling. During it as well, the crowd starts chanting "Walk with Elias" over Sami Zayn and Cesaro playing their instruments. Mm-hmm. So as they're playing, they go, "Oh, walk with Elias," over and over again. So then they start telling them to shut up, blah, 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 gets drawn out. Then they start brawling. I thought Sami Zayn was brilliant. Just grabbed the mic stand and tried to like fend off Braun that came out. And just like, "No, get away from me." Thought it was hilarious. Braun, they have security guards now.
Apparently it's okay for babyfaces to beat up security guards.
It's totally fine.
But the thing is, they're not going to get like banned from the ringside like Corbin was.
I know, yeah. It's always fun to watch, especially Braun, beat up nameless people.
And throwing people who are really good at flipping.
Throwing them into the bloody stratosphere. Him and Elias just got one of them, just went yeet straight up and just, he was gone.
Did you just yeet, Pete?
They yoked him.
He
so
was
hard.
Yat.
I don't even know the past tense of yeet. It's a fun thing.
Yeah.
I thought this was fine. This is when Naomi had her promo saying she's going to become SmackDown Women's Champion, and we get confirmation of Carmella versus Naomi next week. Then we get an entire recap of the Mandy and Otis arc so far, how it all started with Secret Santa, and just kind of a recap of the whole thing, which is great. And then there was a little thing which was like, oh, do you want to go out with me? And she's like, oh, I'm busy next Friday. And then the music cuts and the hearts that are around the screen just dropped from the effect. And she goes, but I've not got anything on next Friday. Whey, music comes back on, hearts are back on the screen. It was great. And then my next note after this is Dolph Ziggler, you expletive.
Oh, you idiot. Like,
so let's just talk through it first.
And this was badly cut together, I thought.
I don't think it was. I think it was intentional, but we'll talk about it in a second. So Otis is there in the restaurant. We know Mandy Rose is waiting. We've seen her there before. Otis is coming in, psyching himself up. Rose is in hand. He kind of goes to walk in. No, you can't do it, can't do it. Goes to walk in again. No, can't do it, can't do it. Kind of slicks his hair back one more time. He's like, right, I can do it. Oh, I don't know. And we cut to Mandy Rose. We see her just kind of sitting there waiting. We just see a hand come in and touch her shoulder.
And immediately, no, it's not Otis because he's wearing sleeves. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking,
oh no. Who's this? And then Mandy just goes, ah, Otis, I was getting worried. And she turns around and looks. Camera pans up and it's Dolph bloody Ziggler.
He is a handsome man.
He's a handsome man.
I forget he's handsome.
He's a handsome man. And he just goes, hey, Mandy. We cut back to Otis. Otis eventually kind of
psychs himself up
a bit more, walks into the restaurant, goes around to see Dolph Ziggler and Mandy Rose sitting together at the table, and they're being poured wine. The heartbreak on Otis's face was clear to see.
I really enjoyed Otis's kind of the way he acted, because we've all been there before a date.
Well,
not all been there, but a lot of people have been there before a date, and you were
before a date, yes.
And you are pacing. You're thinking, oh, what if she doesn't look like the picture? What if she thinks I look horrible? What if we have nothing to talk about? Oh, you are doing that thing that he was doing. That kind of, come on, no. And then you psych yourself up for it. You're like, right. And then can you imagine going in and seeing your date with someone else?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the flowers drop, visual.
He drops the roses on the floor and he just walks out. It was perfectly played. I loved this segment. I'm really looking forward to next week. And especially because of a little detail in the first segment in the night, when Otis was there getting ready, he got a text message saying that Mandy was running late, so he left later. He got tricked into being late for the date with Mandy Rose. It was Ziggler that texted. It was Kevin Nash that texted himself the message or something. He got tricked into being late for Mandy to purposely screw it up. Mandy was only there because she thought Otis wasn't turning up, because she thought she'd been stood up by Otis. It's a good story. I'm so into this.
And Otis versus Dolph will be fun.
Otis versus Dolph will be great. Put it at Mania. I would love it.
Main event, WrestleMania.
Main event, Otis versus Dolph WrestleMania, Ziggler. Otis, Dolph Ziggler. It's
Mandy
happening.
Rose in a cage.
Mandy Rose in a shot. Mandy Rose on a pole.
I didn't say it.
Nope. We get WrestleMania in Hollywood for WrestleMania 37, mm-hmm. March 28th next year. And then we get to the main event, which is Miz and Morrison versus Roman Reigns and a mystery partner. Miz and Morrison came out and cut a promo beforehand, which I thought was as great as always. I think they're both really funny. Miz had a great line being like, I've been here for so many years. I'm always here. Whether you guys cheer me or boo me, I am always here. And Morrison goes, I've been back a month and I am also always here.
Mm.
Great line.
Are they the most must-see tag team, or are they can't miss?
Reigns interrupts the promo, comes out, we get a recap of the Corbin-Reigns feud, then his mystery partner is revealed as Daniel Bryan, which was a massive pop from the crowd.
It was a massive pop, but I was kind of like, oh, I was almost expecting a return or someone. I don't know, as soon as you say mystery partner, I'm thinking, ooh, I like Daniel Bryan a lot. I wasn't disappointed, I was just kind of like, oh.
That sounds like disappointment.
No, it was mild
disappointment.
It was less than I was expecting. Yeah. I was really disappointed.
I really liked it. This was great.
Yeah.
Just before the match gets underway, we see King Corbin come down in the crowd. He's bought a ticket for the show, so he's coming down, ticket in hand, and sitting in the front row in a desk chair.
In not a chair that you have at the show.
Since when do they start selling desk chairs in the front row? Don't know. But the match itself, I thought, was really good. Yep. It's everything you'd expect from a main event SmackDown tag team match. They've got that formula locked down. Corbin didn't actually get involved in the match apart from being a distraction to Reigns, which is Reigns' fault.
I preferred that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And there was some really nice wrestling in it as well. Morrison looked really great. There was a skull-crushing finale onto Reigns, which looked like it might have been for the win. And then Bryan saved it in the last second, which was cool.
Morrison did that flippy thing over the corner post.
The corner post,
which
was
like, looked mental. I was terrified that he was going to just hit the corner post and just slide off.
Great. It was really cool. Yeah, lots of cool spots in this match. But eventually, Reigns pinned Miz with the spear. And then straight away afterwards, Corbin comes in with the scepter and just kind of clunks him on the head and goes up the ramp. And that's how the show ends.
And his sedan, someone has brought out his sedan, even though he's barred from the ring.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was a bit silly. He could have just stood there,
I think. That and the desk chair was really dumb. But yeah. Overall, though, I've seen a lot of people be negative about this show. I didn't think it was that bad. No. I thought this was actually much better than what we've been getting in the last month.
There was something different to it.
Yes, definitely. It didn't feel like the same show again and again and again. This felt different.
Because we wake up in the morning. We don't watch it live because it's on a silly o'clock. But so we wake up in the morning. But my website chat that I have on WhatsApp was just so negative. I was thinking, oh, no.
This is going to be a dreadful episode.
I'm
going
to have to watch this episode. And it was fine. Yeah, it was a perfectly decent 3 out of 5 show.
Yeah, I gave it a high 3 out of 5. I thought it was even better than that. I enjoyed myself while I was watching this show at several points. So, you know, can't say more than that. So as we mentioned in the intro of this show, it was Valentine's Day yesterday. What did you get up to, Randy Dandy?
I think I mentioned... I might have mentioned this last week, but I have this sort of string of events within like a space of a month where I've got every brother, mum, dad birthday, mm-hmm. Valentine's Day, and my anniversary. Mm. But because my lady partner she's doing a PhD, March is a very busy month for her, so we kind of did our kind of big date thing on Valentine's Day instead. So we went to a Pakistani restaurant in Whitechapel, which was very nice. Mm. And then we walked to a place called Swingers, which is like a golf.
Sounds much more sexual than that.
It's not sexual, although it was very sexy, because I was getting lots of things in holes. Am I right?
Hey.
So it's like a bar with crazy golf around it, mm-hmm. which is a good kind of mix, because you can have a few drinks, which I actually did.
Ooh, you drank alcohol.
I did. Then you can sort of, and you play your golf while drinking, mm-hmm. and then afterwards you sort of sit there and wait. Get some more drinks and then go, should we go home?
Yeah.
Because it was like 11 and that's quite late.
Oof.
I had a good one, but you're not celebrating till tomorrow, are you?
Correct, yeah. And our celebrations have somewhat changed as well.
Oh, are you not going to Sonic anymore?
No, we're not going to go watch Sonic anymore. Partially because money's a bit tight, so we're like, in all honesty, is it actually going to be that good? Is it going to be worth the money we spend going to the cinema, getting snacks and drinks and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Is it actually going to be any good?
Cinema is very expensive.
And I'm sure it will be a fine time.
Yes.
But we're also going to be going out for food that evening, and my parents are going to come over during the day. Haven't seen them since like Christmas.
Mm.
So they're going to come over and we're just going to have a cup of tea before we go out for food at the night time. But so I think it is just going to be a meal out for us, which is a nice Indian restaurant we're going to.
Whereabouts?
Sounds very good. It's in Bexley Heath. Michelle's actually my lady partner, I should say. Oh well, I said her name.
Oh no!
She's just got a job there actually.
Oh, does she get a staff discount?
I mean, she might do, which is part of the reason why we're going there.
That's actually unusual.
Mm.
That a Indian restaurant doesn't have Indian waiting staff,
right? So it does, but it's got like 4 or 5 people in like kitchen, waiting staff, etc. She's the first person they hired that isn't part of like the little family run business bit. So they've all got
accents, I suppose.
What?
Michelle's got an accent. They've got accents.
Funnily enough, they actually don't have an accent. I met them. Okay. So they were quite clearly born here.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Nice. Well, speaking of food, Chopper.
Well, before you get into that, just want to say I spent a very romantic Valentine's Day yesterday playing Overwatch by myself.
Oh, nice.
Which was great.
Was she at work?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So I was
that makes sense.
By myself playing Overwatch. It was a good night.
Well, it was a good night for food, but it hasn't been a good day for food, Chopper.
And now we come into bum 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 ba ba bum Datsun World Problems.
Yes. Because I, before coming here, went to Sainsbury's, the local Sainsbury's, mm-hmm. which is next to where my lady partner lives. And I thought, do you know what? I'm going to get myself a nice ready meal. I'm not just going to get one of the normal ready meals. I'm going to get myself a Taste the Difference ready meal, which is like Sainsbury's kind of luxury line. Mm. And I just picked it up and I thought, mm-hmm. great. I love all these things. I love pasta. I love chicken. I love bacon. And I love the creamy sauce. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves creamy sauce. Brought it in. You go, right, before we go into record, I'm going to have some food. And I thought, well, I might as well have my lunch as well then. Go up to the microwave. Slip it out of its sleeve. It's covered in metal, isn't it? It's a complete metal foil.
It's a foil tin.
So obviously I can't put it in the microwave, and we don't have an oven in the office. So I'm really hungry. And then, to make matters worse, Monster Munch are screwing up with their pickled onion crisps. Chopper, because they have. McCoy's did it a few years ago, where they would make their multi-pack bags mm-hmm. really flavorsome.
Yeah.
It's definitely a conspiracy theory, but it's definitely true.
Okay.
And they would make their big like grab bag packs that you could just buy like single bags from shops completely flavorless. They'd be almost pointless to eat. It'd be like eating a plain crisp.
Yeah.
Right. And you want salt and vinegar. Monster Munch are doing the same thing with pickled onion Monster Munch crisp. Last 2 days, I bought Monster Munch crisp. I'm a big fan of pickled onion Monster Munch.
Okay.
And they haven't tasted like pickled onion. You had one. You said they're fine.
Yeah.
Because you don't like the overwhelming flavor. The whole point of these crisps is to have an overwhelming flavor. The whole point is to ward off everyone you know because your breath is so disgusting afterwards.
Yeah.
It's like when you eat a tuna sandwich. Or my girlfriend really likes cheese and pickle sandwiches. She eats that. I'm not going anywhere near her face for the next 2 hours. Or if she has paprika crisps. Everyone really likes paprika crisps, but there's a strong smell.
Yeah.
So
nice smell, though.
For example, if she like leans in for a kiss, I'm thinking, and then should breathe out slightly, I'm going in going, ugh, and then...
Why are you doing that? It's a nice smell.
Yeah, but I don't want it in my mouth and nose
Why
when I'm
not?
Kissing.
It smells nice. Why not? Extra flavour, in it?
I don't want... I want a kiss to be pretty flavourless. I'm not going in for a kiss thinking, oh, I'm quite hungry.
You are the whitest man.
I just want a nice kiss without paprika flavouring. I want my snacks to be snacks. Obviously, my girlfriend is a snack.
Hey, there it is.
I hope you're listening.
I like how you pointed at the camera after that joke, and we're not recording right now.
But I'm so used to pointing at the camera.
That's good.
But yeah, I'm really hungry right now.
Yeah, you are.
Because I haven't had lunch. Mm. I've had a bit of chocolate and about half a bag of Monster Munch before I just gave up on it. Because I was so disappointed.
Which, yeah, by the way, he gave me one. He had this big rant to me about Monster Munch and gave me one and said, here, look, I'll prove it, have one. And I had one and they were pretty much the same as I remember, but it might have been slightly less flavorful, but that's a good thing because it was overwhelming before. I like pickled onion Monster Munch as well. It was fine. There was absolutely nothing wrong with it whatsoever.
They are the best crisp in the world.
That's just incorrect.
What is?
The Max Ridged Paprika flavor.
My girlfriend loves those.
It's because they're the best.
It's between those and Paprika Pringles.
Yeah, also great.
I don't mind them. I just don't want it in my breath because I can really taste. I'm very conscious of bad breath.
You can really taste the paprika when you have paprika.
Yeah.
Just shocking.
Everyone,
absolutely shocking.
Send me your favorite crisps, and then loads of people send in, and we can see, like, we can tally, and then we can decide the best crisp of the SWAF nation.
That is a big survey, especially because we're going to be talking about different countries where different flavors of crisps are
exactly
sold, we won't have tried
in
before.
Germany. I did study German at sixth form, so mm-hmm. high school for your American listeners, and I did a German exchange, and this guy came over, and all he did was like leave about half his suitcase empty so that he could bring home lots of Walker's, Lay's,
yeah,
salt and vinegar crisps, because they don't really have a lot of flavor, crisp flavors in Germany. I think they're kind of more expanding now, but at the time, they had like salt and pepper. And that was basically it. but you know, so he came over and he brought home loads of like a Robinson's fruit squash as well, because mm-hmm. he just thought it was the most delicious thing he'd ever tasted. And it is great.
It is pretty good, yeah.
But talking of food.
Wait, before you do so, just wanted to point out, please send in your Datsun World problems to me,
yes.
Pete@WrestleTalk.com, and I will share them with Datsun, and he can rate how much of a Datsun World problem it
These
is.
These are sort of complete first world problems, but ones that really annoy you.
No, but the thing is, though, they're beyond first world problems. These are like the most minor of minor inconveniences
but they make
that
you
just
furious.
Get under your skin.
Like, I don't know, your shoelace was really hard to untie this morning. That's the kind of thing we want to talk about.
But it needs to be a rant about it. It can't just be like, oh, it was a bit annoying because my shoelace didn't come.
Oh, you have to be furious.
You need to send me like a paragraph of why that really ticked you off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll read it on the podcast.
But speaking of food, and in actually not eating it, is something that Jonathan Hedman has become really good at, because
That's
he
good.
Has now lost...
Good segue.
No, so he's now lost 91 pounds. So he emailed me. He emails most weeks, which is great, because I like to kind of stay in touch with him. So he messaged to say, "Hi, Andy and Pete. Just a quick drop by to say hello. And looking at the NXT Instagram feed and the videos from Wednesday, which is our predictions video mm-hmm. for Sunday's show, it does feel like Pete Dunne might turn on Matt Riddle. At the very least, Pete is very annoyed with Matt. I might change my pick for the league." So this is what I predicted on Wednesday. On the rest of talk, get better. I'm down to £359, £9 from 100 lost. I'll keep you updated. My workout and diet is good also. I'm doing intermittent fasting. Anyway, have a good weekend and enjoy NXT. P.S. How about that Firefly Funhouse last night? I'm not sure what direction WWE will go in.
NXT thing is very interesting. I don't think Pete Dunne's going to turn on Matt Riddle, simply because the vibe I got from the video packages on NXT was very much like, oh, what a wacky sitcom. You have the guy that's being all like wacky and whoa, and then you have the other guy who's really stoic and just be like, oh, what do you mean? Like, so it's, I don't think they're going to turn on each other. I think that they see money in the tag team, and I think they're going to try and push them beyond it. They might win on Sunday. I don't know if I want them to, but I think they're going to win. They might win on Sunday, and then they're going to push him. I'd say pretty hard after that as an actual tag team, rather than just Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne. They will be pushed as the Broserweights kind of thing.
I reckon this is the end of it, and they're going to feud together, which I want to watch.
That's possible. Yeah.
We've got another one. From
I have an email. Right, I've been waiting on this email since the start.
But you can. But you're more important, so you can finish. You're good at. You are known for your finishing.
Ayo.
It's from Brock Batty.
Okay.
So it's a new email. I mean, well, he might have emailed in before.
I recognize the name.
Yeah. Good evening, Randy. So this was sent an hour ago. So he must be on the west coast of Australia. He must be in Australia or on the west coast of America.
Not west coast of America. That is morning.
You must be in Australia. Hi, Brock. I've been catching up an old podcast and just heard that you're sending out videos of you saving penalties. This was just before Christmas. You're behind, Brock, but I'm glad you're catching up. As a fellow sportsman and goalie, ice hockey mainly, enthusiast, I love to see how you went. When I get cleared for sport after my ATFL rupture, I imagine that's arms, teeth, flaps, and legs, I've been requested to join a futsal team that a few mates have recently started. So hopefully I can share some goalie videos in return with you. Or if you're interested in watching me drain 3 points in basketball, I can arrange that too. Loving you on the SmackDown pod each week. Keep up the great work. Yours in being superior to Pete in Pokemon battling. Former rank 34 in Oceania VGC tournament. The Brock.
Rank 34. That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Yeah. That's cool. Futsal, for Pete, probably doesn't know. Like an indoor football with a slightly heavier ball. Feel free to send anything over. I will try and remember to send that video over of me. But I will not. That is it.
Of course, you really wanted to get to this email because it's about you.
That is the only video I will be sending out to anyone. No, it's because he sent it to me just before we went in, so I just thought, might as well read it out. So, yeah, thank you, Brock.
And yeah, screw the queue. Screw the people that have emailed in before then, what, that we mean, read out the after.
The queue of one person.
Like this one that I'm about to read out.
Right.
Got an email here from Drew, who says, hello, Pete and Randy, probably. I'm emailing in because I am a D&D virgin, but I have just joined a D&D club every Wednesday.
You're just taking out the D&D there.
How dare you?
Carry on.
But I've just joined a D&D club every Wednesday, but for it being my first time, I'm very nervous. But what advice would you give me? In all capitals, please help! With 5 exclamation marks.
I mean, obviously,
you're sincerely,
I'm
Drew,
the expert here, but I'll let you.
Birthday, Chopper.
I'll let you have a go on this one, Chopper.
Well, I don't know that much about D&D, unfortunately. Mm. Just kidding. Main thing about it, if you're just playing, is pay attention to the DM. Have a general
understanding. He means Donkey
Man. Yes, that's exactly what DM stands for. Mm. Have a general understanding of what your character is, unless like you're going to be given a character or something. If you've made a character to play, have a general understanding of, you know, how they'd react to certain things, or and like if they're a spellcaster, what spells you can do. It just saves a lot of time if you're going like, oh, I'm going to cast, give me a minute, let me just look through. Hang on, I'm going to, hang on. What's the range on? How much does this do?
This would be me.
Yeah, so just have a look through your character sheet, get familiar with it as much as you can, pay attention to the DM, and just kind of have fun with it. Try not to sweat the details too much, just role play, and the DM will tell you when you need to roll and things like that, and what to roll.
And
so
get your own personal dice, because if you walk in, that's a real flex with like some really cool dice.
Oh yeah.
And just sort of put them on the table.
Well, I was going to say, more than dice, bring in a bag.
The stunningly beautiful woman who I imagine will also be playing will be sitting there looking at your dice thinking, nice.
What a man.
He's got a D20 there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so.
Do you just remember the term D20 and just wanted to say it to look impressive?
D just sounds funny.
D sounds funny. Are you 12?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, apparently. Mm. Anyway, that's all the time we've got on the Wrestle Talk Podcast SmackDown edition. We're going to be back not on Monday. We're not doing a review of NXT TakeOver Portland. simply because we literally do not have the people, because there's top super secret projects that we're doing on Monday that we need basically everyone for.
I could have done it on my own, but that's not very entertaining.
No, exactly. But we will be back on Tuesday with Raw like normal. If you haven't seen the YouTube version of our stuff lately, we are going to be hosting, for the first time ever, a wrestling show.
Holy poo.
Yeah, presented by WrestleTalk. It's going to feature, we're not starting our own wrestling promotion, we're just showcasing some of the best wrestling in the UK at our own live show. For all the details, go to WrestleTalkLive.com. It's happening on March the 16th at Great Portland Street, venue 229. So you can find out all the details there and buy tickets and all that stuff. We're going to have a live podcast beforehand with me and Luke and Ollie and Laurie and Adam Blompier as well. He'll be there, so go get your tickets, come meet us, and watch some awesome UK wrestling. Mm.
I will also be there.
Andy will also be there.
Not doing the podcast, because I'm not important enough.
That's exactly the reason why. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, everyone. I love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.